Are you ready to get in the Word of God this morning? Are you excited about the reality of the kingdom of God? And I hope that this mindset has been placed in you, and maybe you have already thought about the kingdom concept of Scripture. Maybe this is kind of new to you, but we're going to flesh this out and keep working it out and as we look at what it means to be a distinct people for God here in 2020, okay? So if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, hopefully you'll remember this, and this will be like you'll know this. It's just like Scripture memory. For this series, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, where Peter says, "But you are a chosen race, a people for His, that you may proclaim the excellencies of who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful this morning that we get to celebrate who you are, God. As we've brought our sacrifice of praise before you, God, our sacrifice of our giving before you, Lord, may we give our ears and our hearts and our minds to you, Lord, as we listen to your word. God, help us to be the people you've called us to be. Lord, speak to our hearts, change us. Use us, God, for your purpose and your plan in our lives, God. I understand that as a preacher of your word that there is judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place, Father, for it's in Jesus' name that I do pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I do want to remind you that in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, as God was talking to the people of Israel, he said, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." And so when we talk about the kingdom of God concept and the people of God, we have to understand one reality is that God from the very beginning has always been gathering for himself a people for his own possession. Okay? All through Scripture we see this. And Stephen called the Old Testament, called Israel, the church in the wilderness. So God has always had his people, had his church. And we see that Peter is using the exact same language that he's talking about in Exodus for the people of Israel. Why? Because who are we, church? We are God's people, right? For his own possession. And so of course he's using the same language. Why? Because the church is the kingdom of God. It's not the all-inclusive kingdom of God, but it is a part of the kingdom of God. Watch what it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. This is Jesus. He is revealing himself to John. This is the resurrected Lord. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, it says that John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. This was a word from Jesus himself to John about the seven churches who were in Asia. He says, "Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come." Who is that? That's Jesus. "And from the seven spirits who are before his throne," seven meaning a number of perfection, "and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth." Who is in charge of all things? Jesus. "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins," how? "By his blood." Oh, the blood of the Lamb. Amen. He has freed us, how? "By his blood, and made us a" what? "Made us a kingdom." Made us a kingdom. And then that, now what's next? This is where we're going to get into the sermon part of it. And what? "Priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." He has made us a what? A kingdom. And we are to be priests in this kingdom. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. This is when the Lamb approaches the throne of God, and no one's worthy to take the scroll, but Jesus is worthy to take the scroll that was sealed up with seven seals. And we had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. The Lamb is who? Jesus. Each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you what? Ransomed people for God. By your blood, by the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, he purchased or ransomed or bought himself a people for his own possession." Do you see that? Now, why? He bought us for the precious blood, right here it says, to redeem a people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. That's the one race that Pastor John talked about last week. Didn't he do a good job? He did a good job. The one race, out of all nations and tribes, are bought how? And made his people how? By his blood. And you, this is, and Jesus has made them a what? A kingdom and priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Okay? You see that? So what has Jesus done? Through the cross and the resurrection, he has purchased himself, bought himself. Peter says we were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. He has purchased himself a people for his own possession out of every tongue, tribe, and nation to make a kingdom. And we are to serve as priests in the kingdom. So you're a priest if you're a child of God. Well, now, Pastor, I'm not a priest. A priest, a priest is, when you think of priest, many times we think of someone that's supposed to be what? Holy, right? So what is a priest? A priest is someone who is set apart for a special purpose. As a child of God, you have been sanctified, you have been made holy, you have been made distinct for a purpose to serve as priest in his kingdom. What does priest do? Priests offer up sacrifices on behalf of the people. So in the Jewish system, as the priest, they would take the sacrifices and they would slaughter the animals. There was all kinds of different types of offerings. There was sin offerings and there was wave offerings and all these offerings that were going on. There was different sacrifices, and the priest would sacrifice that animal, and when done with the right heart and the right purpose and done with the right type of offering, so when you were bringing your first fruits, you were supposed to bring your best to the Lord, and when everything was done in accordance to how God said it, it was a pleasing aroma to God, and it was acceptable, right? And the priest, and there was a high priest. And once a year, it's called the Day of Atonement, the high priest would make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people. And there is the Holy of Holies, in which the high priest once a year would go into the Holy of Holies, intercede on behalf that only he could go into once a year. So there was priest, and then there was the high priest. The high priest had only access to the presence of God. But when Jesus came, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that Jesus is our great high priest. And that when he was on the cross, remember that the curtain to the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom. That was a sign by God saying, no more is there a separation. I have made a way for entrance into my presence that is going to be through the high priest, Jesus, who serves as our high priest, and we serve as his priest in the kingdom, and we have access to God through the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we still, through Christ, are to offer up sacrifices unto our God. Now, we don't go and kill bulls and goats, but we are to offer up sacrifices unto God as priests in his kingdom. I bet you want to know what those sacrifices are, don't you? Huh? I'm glad you asked me, because I've got some answers. I've got some things that I want us to look at. Number one, first off, we are to offer ourselves up as a sacrifice to God, our body. What does Jesus say the greatest commandment is? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Paul says it like this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present. That means to bring forward. A sacrifice means to bring before. So he says to present, to bring before God, okay? To bring it, this is you bringing yourself before God. You're bringing yourself, presenting yourself as an offering before God. Present your bodies as a what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, or some of your translations say service, which the best translation should be, which is your spiritual act of worshipful service. And the translator's got to decide whether it's worship or service. It really means the act of serving in the aspect of worship. Serving as a priest, offering the sacrifices. So it's a worship, but it's also a service of worship. That our bodies, we are supposed to live our lives and make it an offering before God. And I tell you, many times I think what it is we are so busy and we live a life so rushed and we don't ever pause, we don't ever think, we just go, that we get up in the morning, we got kids to get ready, we got places to drop them off, we got to take them to school, we got to go to work, or whatever, you got all this commotion going on, and many times, I don't know, maybe you're not as guilty as I am, because even as a pastor sometimes I can let the busyness of life rush me to the point to where I forget to meditate that morning and think, Lord, my life, it's not my life today. It's your life. Make my life an offering for you. May I lay my life down. May I be open to what you want to do in my life. May you give me eyes to see opportunities to witness and share. Help me to be the example where I'm going. No matter what I'm doing, where I'm at, whether it's coaching a team, whether it's shopping at a store, whatever I'm involved in, I am to offer my life up as a sacrifice. And so therefore, all day long, I belong to God. And I'm living on behalf of his kingdom. That changes things, doesn't it? When you're teaching children in classrooms, it's not just about teaching the content, it's about representing the Lord Jesus to them. When you're going to work, it's not about just doing your job, though you need to do your job and do it well, amen, because as you do your job, it's an offering. Because you're not working for man, you're working for who? Who's your boss? Jesus is, right? So when you go and you go to work, you're like, oh gosh. I don't want my job. I don't want my boss. I don't want my work. Oh, I'm tired. All right? You're doing it as unto God. So even what you do, no matter what it is an act of worship, because everywhere you go, you're always a priest. You're not just a priest of God when you walk into the church. Oh, it's Sunday morning. Let's get our worship on. Put my priestly clothes on. Put my holy clothes on. Monday, whoo, glad that's over. I can take those off. No, it's every day I serve as a priest for God. My body is a living sacrifice unto God. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll go back to that. Let's read some verses before we get to 1 Peter 2, 9. He says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. So get any type of wickedness out of you. Why? Because it doesn't belong in a priest. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, that you may grow up in your faith, that is, if indeed you really are a believer. I think sometimes our children are more spiritually mature than our adults. Because I see some Facebooks that some of our adults put on there, and it makes me wonder. I know that our kids get it. If you are a believer, then your goal and pursuit of life ought to be growing in godliness and wanting to mature in your faith. That is, if you are a believer. If you are satisfied with where you're at, I would wonder if you really are a believer. If you have never have a desire to have more of God, to follow Him, if there's never times in your life when you feel that conviction, like, man, I know I'm not where I need to be. Do you long for Him? Do you hunger for Him? Are you craving more and more of God in your life to consecrate yourself, to set yourself aside for His purpose and His glory? Or do you live your life completely selfishly for your own personal pursuits and you're using God as a rabbit's foot or a magic eight ball or a 911 call, and He's only there if you need Him, and if you get in trouble, you'll go to Him? Because I would doubt that type of faith. Because saving faith, being born again, is becoming a new creation and having the Holy Spirit of God living in you and having a desire to want to grow in your walk with the Lord and want to know Him more. So as newborn babies, you need to long for this pure spiritual milk if indeed you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, if indeed you are a believer. He goes on and says, verse 4, as you come to Him, Jesus, a living stone who was rejected by men, but in the sight of God, He was chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are what? Being built up. It's a process. Our maturity and our spiritual growth is a process. We are being built up as a spiritual house for what purpose? To be a holy priesthood. There it is again. We are being built up to be a holy, a separated, a distinct, a holy priesthood. Why? To offer spiritual what? Sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Notice sacrifices is plural and not singular. These are sacrifices. Meaning, often, always, and more than just one type of sacrifice we offer. Got it? Y'all good? Priest of God before me. We got some priests. You're a priest. If you're a child of God, you are a priest of God. What are some sacrifices we are to bring before Him? Righteousness. Living a life of godliness is a sacrifice to Him. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells where? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. He's talking about sexual immorality in that context. Keeping your body pure. Allowing no sin to set in and live in God's temple. You would never come to church, I hope to God, you would never have the idea to think of coming into God's house and doing detestable things here in this worship center, would you? Huh? I hope you would never think of ever getting drunk in here, doing drugs in here, looking at pornography in here, gossiping and slandering people in here, backbiting in here, conniving behind one's back in here. I hope you wouldn't do it in here. Would anybody want to do that in here, in this place? Huh? Why would you not? Huh? Because why? We have consecrated this place as a place of worship, have we not? This is a special place. It should be a special place. This is where we worship our God together, right? But guess what? This place is not more holy than your body. Your body, the Bible says, is the temple. Your body is where the Holy Spirit dwells. You house the Holy Spirit. And God forbid that we allow some of the detestable things that we do or think or say come into our mind, out of our, into our heart, out of our mouth, that we pollute the temple of God with sin. God said, Peter says here, don't do that. Why? Because your body is a temple. If we wouldn't do some detestable things here in this place that we call a place of worship, our worship center, then we should never, ever desire to ever do it in our life. Because our body is the temple. Does that make sense? So before you do something you know you're not supposed to do, and when that flesh comes up and Satan says, you don't have to listen to that preacher, he don't know what he's talking about, if it feels good, do it. Before you commit a sin, before you decide that you're going to pollute your body, you better realize and say, wait, should I as a priest of God pollute this temple? My body, my mind, my thoughts, my eyes, my ears. Huh? Right? So when we live as a living sacrifice, saying no to sin, yes to Christ, embracing the fruits of the Spirit, rejecting the fruits of the flesh, the deeds of the flesh, it is a sacrifice to the Lord. It is pleasing, an aroma. We're serving as priests. Amen? Are you with me? Number two, Paul saw his life of ministry as a sacrifice. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, he says, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. He said, if my life, if I have to die for my faith, so be it. I see my life as a drink offering. It's being poured out. I see my life as one that's poured out for the sake of the gospel. Did you bring your steak knife today? Because we're eating some meat. My life is to be poured out as an offering. The ministry that God blessed you with, we all have gifts and talents. And the way that you serve Him and the way that you minister is an offering before God. And if it costs you your life, so be it. If it costs you friendships, so be it. If it costs you a promotion, so be it. If whatever, it's worth it to pour your life out as an offering upon the altar of faith. Amen? Number three, he saw sharing the gospel and evangelism as an offering, as a sacrifice, as a priestly duty. Look at Romans 15, 16. He says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God. Do you see that? The priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Paul, who was a Jew himself, said, now, God has called me to be a witness to the Gentiles, so that they're grafted in, and they're also the people of God. Now, there's no two people, there's one new man in Christ Jesus. And may all of the ministry and all the gospel sharing and all the communication and telling people about the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, may their conversion be a sacrifice, an offering, a priestly sacrifice, sacrificial duty that is pleasing to God. And so that when you share the gospel and the fruit of sharing the gospel and seeing the harvest of people coming to faith, that's sacrifices unto God. When you share your faith with somebody, you're offering up a pleasing aroma to God. You say, well, Grant, what if they don't say yes to the gospel? It's not your job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He saves people, we don't. He uses us to share the gospel. Our job is to be faithful, right? To faithfully share the gospel with people, to invite people. Have you ever thought about that? How many people have you shared the gospel with? How many people have you had gospel conversations with? Why? Well, that's not my job. You know, that's your job, Pastor. That's why we come here, to listen to you. No, you are a priest of God. Every single believer is to be able to share the good news of Jesus, right? And when you tell somebody about Jesus and what he's done, that's a pleasing sacrifice. That's a sacrifice that we can lift up. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. For here we have no lasting city. Talking about this world, we have no lasting city here, right? This world is not our home, right? That's what the Bible teaches us. But we seek the city that is to come. You see, we're going to see this next week. We're a nation within a nation. We're a kingdom among kingdoms. We're looking for the eternal kingdom to come. And we live in it now spiritually through Christ, the Holy Spirit in us, right? Through him, then let us continually offer what? A sacrifice of praise to God. Underline that if you got your Bible out. Sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledges his name. Do not neglect to do good. Underline do good. And to share what you have. Underline the word share. For such. Are y'all with me? For such what? Okay, I got this many. Need everybody. For such what? Sacrifices are pleasing to God. Sacrifices, why? Because we're priests. There's one priesthood. There's one high priest. We are his priest. We're the priesthood. And we are to offer up sacrifices of praise, he says, of praise. Your worship today was a sacrifice, was an offering. As you lifted up the songs of praise, as you sung to him, as you lifted your hands up to him, as you were worshiping him, you were lifting up a sacrifice. You were acting as a priest of God. How well did you do? Did you take your job seriously? Or were you thinking, oh, I can't wait till this gets over? Or, whew. We have an opportunity to come in here and serve as a priest of God and to sing out and offer a sacrifice of praise to our God who saved us and redeemed us by his blood. He deserves our best worship. Our prayers are even a sacrifice. In Revelation, it talks about how the prayers of the saints are the incense that comes up before God. As we pray, we're worshiping, we're lifting a sacrifice up to God. May it be a pleasing and aroma sacrifice. May it be from a pure heart of devotion to him. Amen. So when we acknowledge his name, when we speak up for his name, when we worship him, it's a sacrifice of praise. When we stand for the gospel, when we stand for our faith, it's a sacrifice. It is a priestly duty. Then it says there in Hebrews, and do not neglect to do good. To do good. This is in the category of pleasing sacrificial offerings. Doing good. Doing good. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness or mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. Now, we could go on and on and on about doing good. But good works is an offering. It's a sacrifice. As a believer, as a born-again believer, we are not saved by our works, but our salvation should produce works because we have been saved. If your faith doesn't change you, and that doesn't bring about good works, and there's no fruit in your life, I doubt you've ever been saved. Because as a priest of God, we are to offer up good deeds, good works unto God as a sacrifice to him. And so when I'm honest in my dealings with people, that is a sacrifice. When I'm kind and show mercy, That is a sacrifice. When I am just and I do what is right, no matter if it costs me or hurts me, but I do it because it's the right thing to do. It is the God-honoring thing to do, and I'm not going to compromise. When I have convictions and I stand by them, when I do and treat people the way that Jesus would want me to treat them, when I love and care for people, when I pray for people, when I help people, all of those things, it is a sacrifice unto God. And so guess what? We have opportunities every single day to offer up sacrifices to God by the way we treat other people. Yeah, you can go ahead and go tell them what you think if you want to. Just vomit it all out. Just give them a... Just go at them. Put it out there all on social media. Go ahead. Show and reveal your foolishness. Go ahead. That's not a pleasing aroma. That's not an acceptable sacrifice. We do it His way. We treat people the way that God would have us to treat people. We stand for truth. We have truth and grace. We never compromise on truth, but we never fail to extend grace. Okay? Our good deeds, our good works. Every day we have an opportunity to offer up sacrifices of praise. Y'all getting some of these sacrifices, priests? Huh? You got some? You writing these down? Oops. Do you know, I know I did a whole 8-week series on this. I did a long series on all of our seven purposes. But do you all realize, I think I hit this in the sermon, that your giving is a sacrifice unto God. That your financial giving is a sacrifice to God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. This is a financial gift, and he calls it a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That when we give our tithe and offering to God, it is an act of a priest who is sacrificing and bringing a sacrifice, an offering before God. And when we give our tithes and offering into that offering bag or on that online giving button or whatever it is a pleasing aroma to God if it's our best. When the Israelites brought the firstborn, the best, it was a pleasing aroma to God. When they decided to do it and cut corners and give what they wanted to give and not what God said to give, and they brought the lame, the blind, and the sick animals to God, it was a foul stench in his nostrils, and he said, I don't even want it. It's not pleasing, and it's not acceptable. As a priest of God, guess what? Our life is an offering before God. And the question we got to ask, and we got to make sure we're, am I lifting up a pleasing and acceptable offering with my life? With my finances, do I steward it in a pleasing way? With my mouth and the words that I use, do I steward it and lift it up in a pleasing way? with my mind and the things that I meditate and think on and dwell on? Am I using it in an uplifting and a pleasing way? With my hands, the things that I do. With my feet, the places that I go. Am I using my life as, is my life a pleasing aroma before God? When I am by myself, alone, am I pleasing God with my life? When I'm with my boyfriend or girlfriend, alone, am I pleasing God with my life? When I'm in situations where I could compromise and maybe make another effort for myself to get ahead in the promotion and in my job, am I lifting up a pleasing aroma before God? Because here's the danger. I can do all the things that I'm supposed to do with a wrong heart and wrong motive, and it will still stink in the nostrils of God. David was the king. David knew what it was like to offer sacrifices. There was a time in David's life when he thought he needed to go have somebody else's wife, and he did, and he took it. And he committed sin, he committed adultery, and he committed murder. Basically, he didn't actually murder the guy, but he put him on the front lines to have him killed. He knew what was happening, so he was guilty of murder. And he was living his life as king, going around thinking, you know, I'm king. And here's the danger. As a priest of God, you walk around and you can make the outside look good while the inside doesn't look good. That's what the Pharisees were good at. They made the outside look all great, but on the inside they were wicked. We can't be that type of priest. David was serving as king and he's still ruling. He's still doing all this thing, you know, and still going to the temple, still worshiping, still offering sacrifices. And then Nathan came and told him a little story about a man who took somebody else's sheep and who had plenty. And it was just injustice that came on. And David said, well, that guy needs to be arrested and he needs to be brought before the king. And Nathan said, thou art the man. Ooh. And it cut him to the quick. And David humbled himself before the mighty God. And he realized that he had sinned against God. And in his psalm, he writes this in Psalm 51. For you will not delight in sacrifices, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise that. David said, there is nothing I can bring before you right now that would be acceptable, because I have done something so detestable in your sight, that what you want from me, God, is a broken spirit, a humble spirit, one that is remorseful, one that will fall upon my knees and bow before my knee before a holy God and recognize your holiness and my sinfulness and ask you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. That's what he wants. Paul said, you can do all these things. You can give all your money away. You can give all your clothes away. You can do all these things. But if you have not love, if you have not the love of God in your life, it amounts to nothing. If you're not doing it for Christ. We don't do good things for good things' sake. I don't do kindness because of it. It's kindness day. I do good things because I'm a priest of God. I do kind things because I'm a priest of God. I do holy things because I'm a priest of God. I do righteous things because I'm a priest of God. I do the things that I'm supposed to do. Why? Because I am a priest of the Most High God. I serve in his kingdom as his priest, and I am to worship him and offer sacrifices unto him. That is pleasing. Amen. So this morning, if you're a believer, you're a priest. Your life ought to be reflecting that. You ought to be lifting up some pleasing aroma. If you're not a believer this morning, your first step is to humble yourself before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. call upon his name, ask for his mercy, receive his grace so that you can enter into his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning, help us to be the people you've called us to be. Help us to be your priest who offer up sacrifices. May our life be a holy and living sacrifice. Lord, may we see that all that we do, all of our interactions, all of our jobs, all of our opportunities, everything that we have, our social media, everything about who we are ought to be used for your glory. Lord, if some of us have been offering up some unpleasant aroma before you, search our hearts, O God. See if there be any wicked way in us, and may we get that out. If we're offering up lame, blind, sick animals before you, God, with our life, may we put that to death, and may we bring you the best. May we give you our heart. May we give you full devotion. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that needs to trust in you, would you call them out of darkness and into your marvelous light? For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.